Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read about three verses. And then leave that for a while and go somewhere else, probably. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now I'm just going to stop right there, and I want to ask a question, which is the whole point of this. What do you want? Now, it's a very simple question, but it is very meaningful. What do you really, really want? And I believe it's a very pertinent question. Way down deep, there's a place in you where only you know and God knows. There's an answer to that question. And I believe it's a very important answer. And I believe it is something we all need to answer. Now, you don't have to tell me the answer. Because you might lie to me. I get lied to every day. I still don't like it, but it happens every day. But I think it's a very important question. I think it's a very important answer. Somebody might believe or might not believe that God knows, but God does know. But you need to know. And I need to know. What do you want? That question needs to be answered. Now, it is possible you may not know the answer, because it is possible to be confused and unsure. It's not a good sign, but it's possible. Because that can be the natural reaction to this question. Now, you don't hear so much about it now. There used to be a back to nature movement in this country. I am pretty much a firm believer in indoor plumbing and forced air heating in the winter. But I do like nature. But as to the natural reaction to this question, natural sometimes is not a good thing. Because as far as beliefs go, natural is bad and spiritual is good. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. That's a fact. It's not speculation. It's not subject to interpretation, Walter. Paul wrote it very plainly. And that's where I'm going to go now. It's 1 Corinthians 2. He was very plain when he wrote this. He was very definite. And it is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole book. He starts off, and I've heard this quoted before, and I'm sure some of you have. In verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And most people stop there. Well, eye hath not seen, ears not heard, what God's prepared for them. Keep reading. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He doesn't stop there either. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, because we already had that, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. It's right in this book. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. He doesn't stop there either. They are foolishness unto him, but he doesn't stop there. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually discerned. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't receive it because it hasn't been given to him to receive it. Receiving the things of the Spirit of God is a function of the Holy Spirit in a believer. You don't hear that preached anywhere else either, hardly. The only reason anyone does receive the things of the Spirit is because God has given them to them. It's called revelation. Man, as he is born, does not receive these things, and they are foolishness unto him. I've seen it. If you start to explain things to people, I'm going to tell you, you will get some looks. And if you've done it, you know. Their eyes get real big. I've seen their mouth drop open. For one thing, it's like, okay, I can't believe you're telling me this. They can't believe I'm saying something like this. Because I can be flippant about a lot of things, and it helps me get through my day. But I am not in any way, shape, or form ever flippant about God or about the truth of Jesus Christ. And people aren't prepared for it. And I'm going to tell you something. They think it's weird. They do. They think it's awfully, awfully strange. Now, not the Christ of modern Christianity that they're used to. That they can see on television. But when you come over here and you tell people that the natural man, man as he is born, cannot receive the things of God, because they're foolishness, neither can he know them, because you have to have the Spirit of God in order to discern them. It's not in man to become spiritual. It comes from without. It is the work of God that you believe him. People don't hear that. Those people don't preach that. And the reason people don't preach that is because people won't have it. And when you're getting paid by people, you're going to be a little hesitant to run a bunch of them off. And if you want their, quote, church to go on, you got to have people in there bringing money. I've had people think I make stuff up. That's God's honest truth. This is not even close. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as it truly is, as it is revealed in this word, is not even close to the Jesus Christ that most people know or think they know. Walter, to them, it's the unknown God. It's what Paul found in Athens. Statue on every corner. A God on every corner. And people leave little offerings for him. And he found the one statue, the unknown God. And he said, this is the one I'm going to tell you about. This is the one you don't know, because if you knew that one, you wouldn't have all these statues on every corner. Well, there's a church on every corner. Sometimes there's two churches, one on this corner, one on that corner, one across the street. And all their Jesuses are a little bit different. And they're all different than the one in this book. Except a few. There are a few. None I know of close. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I thought of a few things, just a few examples in the scriptures of what people want. Now, these are the bad examples, okay? Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, just in case you were wondering which Judas this was, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Later on, stated, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Judas Iscariot wanted money. It's plain. And I don't care what the History Channel says. I don't believe there's a secret gospel of Judas Iscariot. There's another verse in there that says, then Satan entered into him. And Christ said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. So you can have whatever you want. And you know what? The gospel of Judas Iscariot, it disagrees with the other gospels. Imagine that. Particularly John. They got it in for the Gospel of John, I'll tell you that. Because that's the one they go up against all the time. See, Judas says this. Well, yeah. Maybe he did. I don't know. He could have wrote the bloody thing for all I know. But it's wrong. If it contradicts the Gospel of John, if it contradicts the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, if it contradicts the Old Testament, it's wrong. Because you're contradicting Christ. And they can have it. And they will have it. They'll have anything and everything and everything in between other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I guarantee it. Because I've been there. I used to be one of those people that they talk about in here that would like to hear and see some new thing. I used to be like that. But now, I kind of like to see and to hear about some old thing. Something that doesn't change. Something that stays the same. Someone who is the same. Pilate said unto Christ, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said, "I find no fault in him." Now Pilate asked, "What is truth?" But he really didn't want to know, because he didn't stick around for the answer. But he did say, "I find no fault in him." He didn't let him go, though. Pilate wanted the people's approval. Pilate did not want to upset the apple cart. He's a politician. He didn't find no fault in him because there was no fault in him. Others did. That's why they delivered him to Pilate. But Pilate did what the people wanted. What you want can get you in trouble. What you want can cause you a great deal of pain. And what you want can get you by sometimes. It got Pilate through this little crisis here that he was suffering. There may have been some ramifications later, but Pilate wanted to get by. That's all he wanted. And there's a reason for this. It's in John 3:19. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Men want darkness. Men want darkness. Mankind as a whole wants it dark. I told you about that thing I read on the internet. How people feel freer in the dark. Or even behind sunglasses when their eyes are darkened. It's a nice little sociological study they did. It's been that way forever. Well, since Adam fell. Not quite forever, but close, as far as we're concerned. Their deeds are evil. And I got talking to Debbie about this the other day, mainly because I drove by that wretched sign again. I know, they're everywhere. I believe John 3:16. I do. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But I also believe John 3:18-21. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, And that's where this world is right now. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are right wrought in God. I believe that. That's just as true as John 3:16. And it's not a contradiction. It is a contradiction if you're preaching John 3:16 wrong. For God so loved the world, smile, God loves you. No, that's a bumper sticker. That's not scripture. That's a bumper sticker. And it's a lie. Now, if you want to put on a bumper sticker that says, smile, God loves some of you, okay. You know. Oh, was it Henry Mahan said that? I've quoted it a bunch of times, you know. Noah had a big bumper sticker on the back of the ark. You know, honk if you love Jesus. Smile, God loves you while you're drowning. God doesn't love everybody. Never said he did. I try to obey Acts 2:38, but I still believe Acts 2:39. Acts 2:37 says this, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's a big one for Pentecostals. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that because it's true. But that's where everybody stops. That's where everybody stops. That's where the sign is in Princeton, and I drive by once or twice a day, sometimes too many times, and it says obey Acts 2:38. Acts 2:39 says this, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He calls, they'll answer. He ain't worried about writing down anything about the answer. Doesn't say a word about the answer because he knows there's going to be one if God calls. He doesn't have to worry about the answer. Because when God calls, you'll answer. When God gives, you'll receive. When you have faith, you're going to believe. Because God gave it to you. I've never been able to figure out in my life, and this was even as a young man, how somebody could have faith and not believe. They preach that. They preach everybody's got the measure of faith. Even though Paul said in another place, all men have not faith. And if you look at the context, you can figure it out. But don't worry about it, because they're not worried about context. Trust me, I've been there. A context, well, it was a text without a context is a pretext. And I heard a man state that like it was a good thing. No, a text without a context is a pretext, and a pretext is a bad thing. Sort of like prejudice, prejudging. A pretext is a bad thing. But that's not the way he said it, although he quoted it. All men have not faith. And that's why some oppose us. And the reason there's so many that oppose the people of God is because so many have not faith. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That is a part of what I want. Now it's just a part, but I want to believe God. I believe Jesus Christ, And that changed what I wanted. Because I think I know my answer now, at least for the last several years. And it's kind of simple and complex all at one time. What I want, I believe I want, is to be holy. That's what I want. I want to be completely free from sin. Now, I know I am free from sin in Him, but I don't want to sin anymore in thought, in word, and in deed. And I do. Now, I try not to show it to you guys, but it shows up. I know it. And more importantly, God knows it. But He still calls me as though I am, even though I'm not. I'm tired of this world, even though I love parts of this world. But I am tired of people lying to me every day. I'm weary of people who don't know anything about God telling me all about God. And it becomes obvious when their mouth opens and their voice comes out that they don't know anything about God. It shows up real fast. I have believed Christ for a little over 28 years now. And I have learned a few things. I've had a few things revealed to me by the Spirit of God concerning His Son. Under Walter's ministry, under Earl's before it, in reading, listening to other people. I'm not as dumb as I used to be, Mason. I used to be dumb. I was about as ignorant of true Christianity as a person could be. I'm not anymore. And I thank God for it. And I thank Walter, and I thank Earl. And I thank Henry Mahan, and I thank Tim James. And I thank God for this book. This world has not changed in those 28 years. I don't know if it's gotten worse or not, to be honest. The information about it has gotten a lot quicker. There's a lot more on TV. And it gets there a lot faster because everybody's got cell phones with video cameras and they're sending stuff into CNN as fast as they can take pictures of it. So you see more of it if you watch it, which I probably shouldn't. But this earth, this world is corrupt. It has been corrupt. And it will be corrupt until it melts away with a fervent heat. I believe that. I believe there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I want that. I want to be a part of that. I want to dwell in righteousness. I have no idea what it's going to be like because I really have no idea about what it is to be righteous because I am so corrupt, that's all I know. It's a full-time job to mortify your members and I don't give my full-time attention to it. I should, but I don't. Just being honest. Well, Mason, I thought about you because I thought about Paul. He said that he thanked God through Jesus Christ our Lord about being delivered from the body of this death. But he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And I don't care what anybody tells you, it's not, "Oh, wretched man that I used to be." I'm not sinless, and neither are they. And if you believe that, you got some real problems. Because I don't know what you want. You done got it. I am wretched. I don't want to be, but I am. I don't want to be wretched anymore. I believe God, and that changed what I want. I believe God, and that changed what I want. Because I want to be like Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have been promised that. And if you love Him, you are predestinated unto that. And that's a good word. You know, because I might think I can change my destination, but I ain't been around long enough to be able to change my predestination. And neither has anybody else. I want to be like Christ Jesus. I want to awake in His likeness with all that entails, even though I don't understand what all that entails. I want Him to come today. That'd be cool with me. That would be excellent for me. And that's what all of it boils down to. That's what I want. I want to be like Him. I wish it could be now. But I guess I'll settle for doing it later. All right, I'll celebrate doing it later. That's a good thing. That's what I want. And by His grace, I actually have it. And I will get it. And so will you, if that's what you want. If that's what you want. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for our Lord Jesus Christ, who did purchase our salvation, provide our redemption, shed His blood for all the sins of all of His people, paying the debt we owed that we couldn't pay. Thank you, Lord, for Your salvation. In His name we pray. Amen.